Let's make confession over our Bibles this morning. Praise Jesus. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything that God has for me today. In Jesus' name. And I'll be excited about it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, worship group. They're gone, huh? Praise you, Jesus. It's good when everybody is taking their place in the body and doing what they're supposed to do. You know, everything that happened so far today was dependent upon everybody doing what they needed to do, including you as a congregation of tapping in. I'm convinced that sometimes God doesn't get to do what he wants to do. And Jesus didn't get to do everything that he wanted to do. He came to his own hometown and couldn't do much there at all because they didn't receive him. But we receive him. Amen? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. In one of the meetings with Dr. Lemon, I don't remember which night it was. Could have even been Sunday morning. I could hear these scriptures in my heart, in particular words, and I sensed then that When the opportunity came, I was supposed to minister on this passage in verse 12 through verse 14. Some important words here. Press in and forget and so on that we need to look at. Realize that sometimes it helps to understand the setting that the Holy Spirit used to use Paul to write this. Paul was in prison in Rome, and it may have been a relatively comfortable prison. I think it says that he kind of had his own house. He just wasn't allowed to go anywhere he wanted to go, but people would come and see him. But still, he was in prison. And at that point, if you read chapter 1 in Philippians, he wrote, I've got a difficult decision to make. It would be really great to just go ahead and the Roman government was probably going to want to kill him. Just be really, really great just to die and go to be with God. Be really good. But then he made the decision to stay. He said, it's more needful for you that I stay. And he decided to stay on and minister to them. History says, for the most part, some people think that Paul died at that point, but I think that there's more indication that Paul was released from prison, went back out and ministered again, made another trip at least around to the churches that he ministered to. And then later on, the last book that he wrote was 2 Timothy. And he said, I finished my course, kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown, and so on. That's the place that if Jesus tarries and we come to that part of our life, we all want to be. I want to finish well. I don't know how much time we have left. If it was just today, I want to finish well. If it's another year, I want to finish well. And I think, Ed Willis Cole said he wanted the last years of his life to be the most productive years of his life, and they were. And I think that it can be that way for all of us. We're declaring with each birthday and so on, this is going to be your best year yet. The best is yet to come. Are they difficult times? Yes. Strange times, perilous times that we live in. I don't think that most of us thought we'd see some of the things that we're seeing today or hear some of the things that we're hearing today. But here we are. In the midst of this, God is still God. Jesus is still Lord. The Holy Spirit still resides on the inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. And power to live a life that's a witness of a resurrected Christ. We sang about he's alive, he's alive, praise God. If he's alive and he's in us, then we should do well, no matter what's going on around us. So Paul says the powerful things to the Philippians, probably his favorite church, if he had a favorite. They gave to him even during difficult times. The church of Corinth, he had a lot of different problems with and had to deal with, but these were people that he loved, and he's talking about it. Probably coming down to close to the end of his ministry and pressing in. So in verse 12, Philippians 3, he said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Can we all have that attitude? Can we? Now, a person who's giving place to depression is not going to have this attitude. So here I sit. One of the ministers this morning was talking about Job, and certainly had difficult times that he faced. But first he had to come out of himself. He had to his own act together before he could receive from God and end up with twice as much as he started out with. He could have died on that heap of ashes. Could have died of those boils. But finally he came to a place and said, you know what? I didn't have any idea what I was talking about. Anybody been there before? What in the world was I saying? What was I allowing myself to think? So, you know, probably all of you to some degree or another are in difficult times right now. Probably not true that everything in your life is just totally in the place that you'd like it to be. But yet we can press in, we can forget what's behind, and we can move on. This church has been through great times, we've been through difficult times. Here we are. Praise God. The dust settled and we're still standing. God is still God. Jesus is still Lord. The Holy Spirit is still on the inside of us. We're not done yet. We got things to do. And we're going to do them, praise God, with all our hearts. We're going to press in. Amen. Now, so what I want to do this morning is talk about the words in these verses. Now, I know that everybody is not as excited about words as I am. So bear with me for a little bit and let me define some of these words, because they're very important. Not only what they mean, but the way that they're being used in these few verses. Verse 12 again, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Perfected, he said, I am not already perfected. Not haven't attained everything that needs to be attained. I'm not perfected, which means the word for perfect is usually the word for maturity. And Paul is saying, I'm not mature beyond all maturity. In any case, you could say you're mature, but there's still more maturity to come. Somebody illustrated it like this. It makes sense to me this way. I don't know if this witnesses to you, but if you have a seed of corn, could be a mature, perfect seed. But there's more maturity to come. And you plant it in the ground, and then it does what it's supposed to do, and a little green sprig comes up. And that could be a perfect little green sprig. But there's more perfecting to come. There's more maturity to come. And then a stalk grows and you've got a perfect stalk. And it's perfect as it is, but it needs more maturity to come. And then you get the ears, and the ears produce the corn, the kernels of corn, and you get that bright yellow. And it comes to the place where finally it's not only perfect, but it's perfected. So we can all be perfect. Well, let me put it this way. What's the word I'm looking for? In our positionally, we are perfect. We are forgiven. We are made righteous. We are healed. We are delivered. We are sanctified. All the long words that Christians use, we are. But even as we are now, there's still more perfecting or maturing to come, because we're not walking in all those things that we are. But we're after it. In fact, that's what we want. What Paul's talking about. I'm going to keep pressing in. It belongs to me. This is who I am. I'm not saying that's not who I am. This is who I am. But I want to walk in that. I want an everyday manifestation of that. I want to experience that. Don't you? Yes. Praise God. All right. So he said, I press on. Here's what Strong says about press on. To run after. Figuratively of one who is in a race, and he runs swiftly to reach the goal, to seek after eagerly, earnestly endeavor to acquire. It's not just, that'd be nice. You know, and I think a lot of times we sit in church and we hear messages and we think, well, that'd be nice. Like, yeah, having a manifestation, of healing would be nice. Fully delivered and no problems in my soul, that'd be nice. I think I'll do that. That's different than what he's talking about here. He's saying, eagerly pursue. This belongs to me. I'm going to have this. God didn't destine for me to spend the rest of my life in a wheelchair. I'm going to walk, praise God. I'm going to stand up. Whenever I have a dream and I see myself ministering, which I do a lot, I'm always standing up. There's no wheelchair around. Belongs to me. Full manifestation of peace belongs to me. Prosperity belongs to me. Does it belong to you? So we eagerly pursue because it belongs to us. Got to know it belongs to you, and then you can go after it, praise God. Now he goes on to say, I press on that I may lay hold for that which Christ Jesus also laid hold on me. Same words are used here, but they're used in a different way. Paul's saying, I want to lay hold of that which, for the particular reason that Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Laid hold is defined this way. To attain to make one's own, to take into oneself, to appropriate, to lay hold of with the mind. Interesting that would be there. Because that's where, a lot of times, where you have to get it first in the heart, in the mind, to understand, perceive, learn, and comprehend. Didn't we have to first learn what was available to us? Oh, let me put it this way. Didn't we have to first learn who we are? Aren't we still learning who we are, praise God? And as we do, then we can find out, in a sense, the reason that God laid hold of us to start with. And it's interesting that it's in the subjunctive mood, which, you know, I'm sure we use all the time. Basically, just means it might happen, it might not. Paul said, I'm going to go after this. And it's going to happen in the sense of it, as he goes after it, he's going to receive it, but it's not a given, like it's given that we are forgiven, it's given that we are righteous. It's not given that we're going to walk in that. It's not given that we're going to experience that. Something we have to press in for and go after. Now, he goes on to say, of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold on me. Same word, lay hold, laid hold. But in this case, it's in the passive voice, which means it's the action happens to the subject. This is something that God did for him. God did to him. Most of the time, it's active, and the subject does the action of the verb. In this case, the verb is being the subject is being acted upon. God laid hold of Paul for some purposes. And Paul's saying, I want to make sure that I get a hold of those purposes. Think about that. And in Paul's case, we know because we read the book of Acts and we see in chapter 9 where he got born again on the Damascus Road and God set him down and brought Ananias to him and said, here's the purpose. I want you to minister to the Gentiles. I want you to travel the world, minister to the Gentiles. I'm going to use you. Specifically, he told him. And he tells us too, if we let him, if we press in, here's what I'm saying. Every one of us, God laid hold of us for a purpose. Now, first of all, we could say he laid hold of us because he loves us. He laid hold of us because he wants to spend time with him in heaven forever and ever. All those are good reasons. But we got some time here on earth. And he laid hold of us for some reasons. And we better find out what they are. First of all, we better want to find out what they are. And then make it our purpose to find out what they are and to walk in them. Brother Hagin said a lot of great things in his lifetime. One of the things he said about ministers, particularly, he said, there's a lot of ministers who are going to live a long life and die and never even get into the first phase of their ministry. I don't want to stand before Jesus someday and have him say, you know, you really never got to where I wanted you to be. I love you. He would say this, I love you. I receive you into heaven. Here's your reward. But you never really were doing what I called you to do. It would be sad to stand before him someday if I was trying to be an evangelist when I was called to be a pastor. Now, you can understand that in light of the callings of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but most of you aren't called to one of those callings, but you are called. God has a purpose for you. Some of those things that we prayed this morning about being an anchor, God wants to use you. For some, it might be a business thing. It's all kind of thing. God doesn't tell me to tell you. He tells you. If it's important to you, and you're pressing in, and you go after it with all your heart. Joanne? Praise you, Lord.
After I accepted Jesus in my heart, I told you when God called me into the ministry that my kids and I were having dinner, and we had one of Dee Dee's friends there, and she had a little girl. So I had her little girl, Victoria, on my knee, and I heard, wow, your quiver is going to be full of them. And I turned around, and I'm like, who said that? Mm-hmm. And I took it on, you know. But I keep getting little revelations from God that not only is it the kids, it's just people and the calling on my life, because I come with a lot of people that, you know, the business that I do, that, like, I have a lot of people in my life, and it's lately, it's like a lot of moms, like with kids, and they go through divorces and stuff like that. I can share, you know, my life with them, and, you know, encourage them to forgive and, you know, continue to grow and move on and let go. And even though they're crushed, and they're hurt, they go through a lot of pain. But I keep telling and sharing them that how much God loves them, and just continue to forgive their spouses and, you know, go find somebody new and find somebody good that's good for them, and not be bitter and and hold on to rejection and stuff like that.
Praise you, Lord. The name of Jesus. Let your healing power flow. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I think God wants to use us a lot more than we understand. I remember being in the hospital years ago, back in the 80s, and there was one nurse there that you could tell that she really saw her place as a place of ministry. We talked different times. In fact, she started using me for somebody to bring people to. I was a captive audience. I got somebody coming in to see you tomorrow. You know, I'm laying there in bed having stuff done to me. But I was glad to be used at the time. But she looked at her hands as ministry hands. And when she was giving a back rub or washing somebody, whatever it happened to be, she saw that as ministry. And I think that every one of us, when we're where we're supposed to be, can see it the same way, helping people through difficult times. Joanne gets to talk to people, and they open up. There's something about sitting in that chair, opening up. I think those are probably the best counseling sessions. When people come for an organized counseling session, sometimes nothing good happens at all. But in those times, good things can happen. Let's go on to verse 13. Good stuff, isn't it? Praise God. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. That's the same words that he's used about in the previous word of lay hold and laid hold. In this case, in the perfect tense, which means an action that happened in the past, never needing to happen again. So he's saying, it hasn't all happened yet. It hasn't all come to experience yet. It's not all done. It's done positionally, but it's not all done in an experiential sense. Thank God it's not all done in an experiential sense. If this is as good as it gets, this isn't all God promised. Now, positionally, it's already as good as it gets. You can't get any more righteous than the righteous of God in Christ. You can't get any more healed than healed or delivered than delivered, praise God. But you can experience a lot more, praise God. So, and he goes on to say, here's an important thing. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting. I was studying that word out, and you know, I think we kind of understand it, but actually when you look at it in Strong's and go to the root of the word, it means to take stuff and put it where you can't see it anymore. Get it out of your sight. Get it somewhere where you can't keep looking at it. Which I think there's a lot of things in our life that we need to do. And you know what I was thinking? That it's not just bad stuff. Sometimes it's good stuff too. But we just you know, you can encourage yourself by what happened in the past, but not live there. Illustration. Back in from 1967 to 71, I went to Northeast Bible Institute, and it was a good college. We were training for ministry. And there was a lot of talk early on about some revival that they'd had years before. Do you remember the revival of, I don't know what, I'm going to say it was 55 or something like that. What a great time, all the great things were happening, wonderful time. Well, that was good, but you can't live there. And some of us who were there started thinking, well, what about the revival of now? And, you know, eventually we got one, and the classes shut down for about a week, and we just went to chapel and just spent time in chapel every day. And people were confessing sins, and all kinds of, you know, worthwhile things were happening. We've all had some good times in our life. We can be encouraged by those times. But you can't live there. You need some good times experiencing now. Amen? Today is the day of salvation, praise God. So, and then certainly the bad times. Have we had some difficult times? Yeah. Have we lost some things along the way? Yep. But you can't live there. You can't. If you drive your car looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to have problems. You take a peek every once in a while just to know where you're going, but, you know, you're going to run right into something you didn't want to run into if you're not paying attention, looking ahead, forgetting those things which are behind. As a church, have we had some great times? Certainly. Praise God, and we celebrate those times. Have we had some challenging times? Yep. Well, let's forget that. Let's go on from here. Let's do what God called us to do. You know, I don't want to stand before God as the pastor of this church someday and say, you know, you did good up to such and such a year, and then things went sour. No, they didn't. Do we have challenges? Yes. But we're not stopping. We're going to finish strong. Whatever time there is left, if Jesus tarries and you know, Diane and I go on to be with the Lord, it's going to go on from here. Remember Dr. Lemon said, you know, if the church was already all of a sudden gone, would anybody notice? They're going to notice. We're here serving God. We can go on from here. But, you know, you take it as a church, but take it particularly as an individual, forgetting those things which are behind. And he goes on to say, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Reaching forward. There's a note in the Spirit-Filled Life Bible that says this. The imagery is that of a runner on the course, straining every muscle as he runs toward the goal, his hand stretched out to grasp it. I'm going to get there. Aren't you? You know, you see, I guess, aren't the Olympics coming up this year? I'm thinking particularly of like the 100-meter dash. And when they get close down to the end, they're stretching out because it's usually a matter of a hundredth of a second. The guy that wins over the guy who comes in second. And we don't have to beat each other, but we need to win our race. So we need to stretch out because it is getting down to the end. This is not the time to sit on the bench. This is not the time to coast. You know, we said we're going against the stream of this world, so you got to try some even just to stay in the same place, but I don't want to stay in the same place. You know, I don't want to start next year and then get halfway through in this place and say, well, here we are at the same place as a church, but even in my own life. Diane and I can say we made some progress this last year. It wasn't easy progress all the time, but it was, for me, it was scary because it was change. It caused change. And you know, I love change. But I found out, you know, change is good. Anything that's alive is changing. So we make progress. We want to be able to come at the end of any period of time and look back and say, you know, there were challenges along the way, but we pressed in. We forgot the things were behind that. We reached forward and we kept moving, making progress, experiencing some of these good things that have been done for us. Praise God. Verse 14. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards, same as the word he used in verse 12. One who goes after and runs swiftly, eagerly going after, earnestly endeavoring to acquire. Press on towards the goal. goal is defined as a distant mark that's looked at, but you're saying, I'm going to get there. Now, so you think about, well, what was the goal for Paul? I think if you just look back a few verses, he tells us what the goal was. In verse 8 through 11, this is what it says, New Living Translation. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my own ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. Let me review what he's saying there. What's his goal? Knowing Christ intimately. We could all say we know about him, but we need to know him. There's a difference. Not counting on our own performance, but fully trusting in the righteousness of God in Christ. We're coming there, praise God. We're taking on that one on. Thief, you're coming on Thursday nights. Learning about grace. No more depending on our own performance. Learn to trust the fact that we've been made righteous before him. Having the ability by God's grace to overcome suffering such as temptation and the pressures of life and persecution. By his grace, Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong because the grace of God comes in. When I recognize I can't do it, but he can, and I trust him. Are there going to be sufferings? Yeah. Listen, we don't have to suffer sickness. We don't have to suffer poverty. We don't have to die early. But there is persecution. There's pressure. There are temptations, tests, and trials. But in them, we have this wonderful thing called grace. And the Bible says that we can run boldly to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. I believe these were the prize, the goal that Paul was going after. And think of what a great man he was. And then he said, I'm eagerly going after that. I'm going to experience all this. Did he have sufferings and challenges? My goodness. Shipwrecked, beaten, all those things as an apostle of God. But yet he was after this with all his heart. And I think we need to ask ourselves, are we? Is it important to us? All right, it goes on. That's the goal. And then he says the prize. The goal is that thing that you're looking at, that you're going after. The prize is what you get when you reach the goal. The award to the victor. Here's what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Remember that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You must run in such a way that you will win. Got to, you know, again, I'm not in competition with you. You're not in competition with me. It's not about that. It's our own race. Are we going to get to where God wants to be? When it's all said and done, will it be more said than done? Well, you know, are we really going to be where we're more important, let me put it this way. Are we really going to be who we're supposed to be? It's not about how busy we were. We stand before God someday in the judgment seat of the Lamb. It's not going to be, you were really busy. That was good. You can be busy and get nothing done at all. Or you can be busy and getting a lot done. But it's not doing, it's becoming. Here, Ben.
All the stuff we're learning about grace lately. My brother is a Christian. He goes to another church. And he is studying grace too, and I've been telling him different things about the class and the book and everything. And I think the most important thing to me, like Diane said a couple weeks ago, it's so simple. Even a child can understand it. It's our minds that get things mixed up. It's looking around us that gets things mixed up. Brother Lemon told us things are going to get tougher. We've been told in the world. And I'm not a doom and gloom. I don't give in to the doom and gloom prophets, and I'm not saying he is. I understand what he said, and we can't get through it without God, but we want to get through victoriously. I mean, even what we saw on the news Friday night, I put CNN on. I said, I can't even look anymore. But I did, about what happened at LAX. How do we know? How many people just had that feeling not to be in that airport that day or not go around that corner or whatever it was? I mean, we really need to be close to God and walk in the Spirit. But when Pastor was just teaching, what came across my mind was the new definition of humility. A lot of people have a condemnation definition of humility to be a Christian. Oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, I just messed up. Somebody in my family reminded me the other day, I wasn't really paying attention to them when they were talking. I'm thinking, okay, I'm sorry. It's okay, though. I said, I was tired, you know, whatever. But little things like that happen. But true humility, all the great men and women of God, I'm sure in Hebrews 11, were totally dependent on God. They recognized they couldn't do a thing without Him. We can't get through today without Him. I mean, we can't. Our heart doesn't beat without Him. We can't take the next breath without Him. Everything you've been through, Dave, and I know you're healed in the name of Jesus, you know that.
Praise Jesus.
And what I'm thinking, Joanne, Jess, you can't get through the next couple weeks without Him. Isn't it freeing, really? And the word we got through Diane, Jess, God knows every pain you felt. He knows everything you're going through. I am so happy to be totally dependent on God.
Praise Jesus.
I mean, I'm getting there more mentally, but I'm so happy. It's so freeing. I had to learn something new in my job this week. Right away, fear came on me. I thought, what are you doing that for? Look at everything you already know. So I said, okay, God, Jesus has been made unto me wisdom. I can do this. But to me, the most important thing is recognizing we need God for everything. True humility is we can't do it without Him. And look, I don't just want to get by the skin of my teeth either. We all know what that's like. We're going to a church where that's not allowed. We can go to a lot of comfortable churches if you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. There are people leaning on us. All the stuff Pastor just explained about being an anchor. We need anchor. We really need to get closer to God.
That anointing.
Joanne, you're going to walk right through this, Joe.
Praise Jesus.
Because your father's going into the almighty arms. Praise and he's going to keep you just like he's going to keep your father.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. An appropriate place to look at the last word in verse 14 is the upward call. Upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Strong says the call from above to step up to the purposes you're called to. There's a note in the Believer's Bible Commentary that says this, includes all the purposes that God had in mind in saving us. It includes salvation, conformity to Christ, joint heirship with Him, a home in heaven, and numberless other spiritual blessings. It's not only the call that we finish in heaven, but an upward call while we're still here. Amen? And Paul said back in verse 11 about to be the being resurrected from the dead, he wasn't just talking about the resurrection of Christ or His resurrection when He got born again, but to be, it's a different word actually that's used in the original language. To be resurrected out from among the dead. There's a lot of dead people around us. You understand what I'm saying? They're physically alive, but they're dead in almost every other way. But there's a resurrection for God's people out from among the dead. Not the chosen frozen, but really alive unto God. Amen? Amen. So, you know, we've got things to do. And I've focused for this message mostly on you thinking about your particular thing, but we also need to think about the fact that we're in this together and we can help each other out. I love teamwork. I've never been really enamored by a sport where it's just me and me by myself. I like team sports. I like when we do it together. And this, if we think that this is a sport, it's a team sport. We're in this together. It says in fact, our scripture for this month is Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Why don't you take a look back there? You're already in Philippians. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. Chapter 1, verse 3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you and make my request with a heart full of joy because you have been my partners in spreading the gospel, the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. And I'm sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Together. We got some things to do together. It's exciting to do it together. I'm excited when a team comes together and the windows get installed. You know, I'm excited when we're doing something together, to see the ushers work together, the worship group work together. There's something about doing it together. God's called us together. We wouldn't even have probably even met each other had God not called us here together.